I'm glad you guys made it. I've been looking for you last 2 weeks. I don't know why you haven't been in church. I've been wondering where you've been. So, no, I'm so glad that I'm able to be back with you. I had a great time. And let's give a hand to Pastor Rocky and Pastor Mandy, who held it down for me while I was gone. Amen. Amen. I want you to feel free to scoot closer to each other, scoot on up, because we're family. And I just believe God's going to give us a word tonight. How many are hungry for a word from the Lord tonight? How many need a word? In our season, in our times right now, with so much chaos, so much confusion going on, so much pulling here and pulling there, it is a very trying time in the hearts and minds of people, because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to look at the world. They don't know how to deal with all of the complexities that the world now presents for us. But how many know that God was never surprised when today came? Hello, somebody. That he knew before the foundation of the world what we were going to walk into. In fact, Jesus says, you hear wars and rumors of war. And he says, but take heart. That's not even the end. Don't even worry about all that. He says, that's just the beginning of signs. He says, listen, I'll be back to get you guys before things get rough. So y'all just get ready. That's all I want you to do. Don't get stressed out because of what you're seeing. Get ready for what I'm about to do in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. Our job is not to be fearful. It's not to be afraid. It's not to look at the signs and go, oh my God, look what's happening in the world. No, 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 no. Our job isn't to do that. Our job is to pursue purpose. I want you to say that with me. Pursue purpose. That means that everybody was designed to do something for God that somebody else could not do. The very fact that you exist says that there was a work that has to get done, that there wasn't somebody else that could do it. God knows how to infiltrate humanity and put people where they need to be. Now, some of y'all may not be from Leesburg. Can I see a show of hands of people that are not from Leesburg? Can I put your hands up? Would you look around for a second? Can I see anybody from Leesburg? See, y'all ain't even supposed to be here. This is supposed to be a church of people not from Leesburg. Now I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm not from Leesburg. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. They used to call it the Nasty Natty because it was just so bad. And God told me, Stephen, I have a word for you. My very first prophecy God ever spoke over my life. He said, I was probably 19, 20 years old in a little small church. And he said, Steve, God says he's going to use you in Central Florida to build churches. Now, I was just coming to Florida A&M University. And I'm like, hey, whatever that means. I didn't know what that meant. My first time ever hearing from a prophetic word. I didn't know what that was. So I just wanted to be obedient. So when I went to college, they said, what's your major? I said, construction engineering. I thought I was supposed to build churches. So I went in for construction engineering thinking, well, I'm trying to do the will of the Lord. And man, got in class and hated it. You know what I mean? Couldn't stand it. I mean, me and math, we boxed in the hallways. We didn't like each other. And so I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to build churches in Central Florida. This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. God, what is my purpose? God, what do you want me to do? You said build churches. I hate the class. I don't like engineering. It's terrible. How am I going to do this? And while I'm stressing, how many know that God knows how to get your attention? Oh, you didn't hear me. God knows how to get your attention. Come on, you got to give God a hand clap for that one, because let me tell you something. If you can put your money in the bank on that one, you'll know that when everything looks like it ain't going to happen, when it looks like everything's so slow, when it looks like you don't know what to do, you could put your money in the bank that God knows how to reach you where you are. He doesn't care about your past. He knows exactly where you are. And he knows how to get your attention. Pastor Steve, how is that a true? Well, let me give you an example. There was a man by the name of Moses. Moses knew he was going to be a deliverer. Moses was born with this attitude of, I'm different. He was found in a little basket floating down the water. Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out. And the Pharaoh's daughter called him Moses, meaning drawn from the water, raised him up in Pharaoh's house. He knew he was different. He knew he looked different, but he was given privileges because of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew he was a Hebrew. He understood that. And the Bible says one day he came out to see his brethren. He wasn't clueless. He knew. And he looked at them and said, yeah. See, I believe God has me in this position so I can deliver the people. Come on, somebody. See, sometimes God will put the desire in your heart, but it's not time yet. And we get so upset because we're trying to make things happen. I'm trying to make it go, happen, 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 go, happen, go, 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 happen, happen. And nothing happens. And we're thinking, well, maybe this isn't what I'm designed or purposed to do. No. I always ask this question. Is the thought still beating in your head? When you sit down, does it keep coming to your mind? When you slow down, you turn the TV off, does it keep beating in your heart? That's how you know it's in you. It just may not be the right time. So Moses saw his brother getting beat up by an Egyptian, went down there and killed the man. Figured everybody's going to love him. I killed him because I'm your deliverer. So you know I'm in the house of Pharaoh. I can use all of his power to deliver the children of Israel. That's why God has me here. That's why I have so much money. That's why I look like a Pharaoh from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet. That's why I wear these designer sandals, because I'm your deliverer. And the Hebrews looked at him and said, we don't trust you. You look like the enemy. And they said, matter of fact, you're going to kill us like you killed that man? And Pharaoh knew, uh-oh. I just heard that one of my own killed an Egyptian. Moses killed. And he was not allowed to kill Egyptians. And when Moses heard it, knew he was in trouble, took off. Can you imagine that? Your entire life you thought was supposed to go this way. And because of an accident or situation or problem or something comes up, it looks like it's derailed your entire life. Ah. You ever had something happen and you know you were dead wrong? I mean, you might have been dead. I mean, you are rigor mortis wrong. You know what I'm saying? You dead wrong. And when it happened, you're like, man, I'm busted. And it looks like your entire life has been derailed. But how many know God knew what was going to happen before you hit the planet? He knew the worst that you would do and still sent you to earth, because he knew nothing was going to stop his purpose over your life. Moses had given up. Moses says, I'm done. I'm outie. He ran out into the land of the Midianites. And you know he looked like an Egyptian, because when he saved Jethro's daughters down by the water, when the shepherds were messing with him, they looked at him and thought he was an Egyptian. He was dressed to dress. But over 40 years went by, and Moses got old. He went from being 40 years old to 80 years old. And how many know when time passes, we begin to think that God's plans fade? God said it, but it's been so long. God said I'm supposed to do this, but I haven't seen it. God said this was going to happen in my life. This was spoken over my life. These people said I was going to be this, but yet I haven't seen it. And we think time dictates God. It only documents God. See, time is only exists so that we know when he hits the planet. That's all it's for. It's not to tell you how to make you feel bad and make you feel like it's taking too long. It's to document the moment he touches down. Somebody say amen. Moses was in the wilderness for 80 years. And what in the world was he doing? Being a shepherd. Saw no link between being a deliverer and a shepherd. Somebody said,
Say it again.
This is where we miss it, ladies and gentlemen. This is where I have to teach from today, because, you know, when we don't see the link between where we're, what we're doing right now and what God has ultimately planned for us, we will sometimes abort right now because it doesn't look like it was supposed to be for us. And so sometimes we won't do the small things to get ready for the big things. Amen, somebody. The Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. You can't know the mind of God. You don't know how he's going to make it work. You don't understand his thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are his thoughts above all thoughts and his ways above all ways. You can't say to God, well, this ain't going to get me to where I need to be, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to try it. And you never knew that God had it all set up in the small stuff. And we're thinking, well, I want to be a great preacher one day. And God says, go in the corner and pray. And you go, pray? I need a speaking engagement. No, go in the corner and pray. But nobody gonna hear me over there, God. Get in the corner and pray. Amen. See, that's how I became a preacher. I came down there to Central Florida. God told me, by that time I realized what he meant. I was going to build churches. And I got down here and I'm waiting. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I didn't tell anybody that I was an ordained minister, came to a church. And all I knew in my heart was, if I'm going to feed from the teaching of that church, I'm not going to sit in the pew and not do nothing. I'm going to help and give back to that church because that's the least I can do. I mean, you know, listen, they're feeding me and my family every day by the word of God. Why would I not want to help out somewhere in the church? And so I said to the Lord, I said, where do you want me to serve? He says, came to me in a dream and said, I want you to go in a corner over there where there's a couple people and I want you to pray. And I, in my dream, was like, really? Praying in the corner? That's not going to get, you told me I was going to be a pastor at a church. You told me, get in the corner and pray, boy. And I remember waking up. Came to church that day. First man I spoke to, is there a prayer team? Yeah, matter of fact, I'm the guy over the prayer team. We meet in the corner. I'm like, oh, God. It was the most raggle-taggle group of people struggling to speak. And they were like, and God, I hope that maybe if you will, please help somebody. And I'm sitting there going, and this is where he wants me to be? And I'll never forget, because of my relationship with God, I began to pray. And I'm like, Father, we need you to move. We need to. And then all of a sudden, they were listening. And they jumped in. And then someone else joined. And then another joined. And another joined. And another joined. And we're just rocking the prayer time. We're rocking it. And then the preacher that comes out of his office, because we were right next to his office, and he looks out and goes, who's praying out here? And he saw me praying, and he said, son, would you come in and pray with the leadership? Sure, no problem. I'm just praying. Went in the room, sat down, had no position, no title, just did the one thing nobody thought would get me where his purpose was. Nobody thought. It was so out of the way, but I prayed. I just did what the Lord told me to do. Pray, 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 boy, pray. But I can preach, pray. I don't want to hear you line up a sermon. I want you to line up a prayer. Come on. Do you know me? Can you talk to me? Can you make something happen in the supernatural? Can you dream a dream? Can you see a vision? Can you do anything like that? And every night before I came to church, I would dream what was happening in the church. I'd get up about 5 a.m, come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I saw this in my sleep. And he's like, ooh, how did you know that? I said, I just saw this. I don't even know what it means. Son, you're right on the money. When I saw somebody trying to split the church, woke up, told him who it was. He said, good God Almighty, I just found out myself. Why? Because I was praying. I was in the spot that didn't look like the spot. When you want to pursue purpose, it ain't always in the big and the glamorous, y'all. It's in the obedience. Come on, somebody. You just have to be obedient. When you are disobedient, you miss your purpose. This is what the you are for. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. Your purpose is dependent upon your obedience. I remember sitting in the corner and I'm praying, and then they asked me to come to leadership. And once I came to leadership, they asked, would you come during the week and pray with us as we plan our plans for the church? And I came. And then the next thing you know, they say, would you come on staff as one of our pastors? And immediately they hired me on staff as a pastor. The thing God said he was going to do, it happened, but not the way I thought it would. Served there 7 years. Somebody say seven. See, some people, they put a time limit. God told me just to be here for 3 years and get. When people tell me that, man, you know they're not going to be faithful. Because they're telling you, I'm not ever going to listen to you because God has already spoken over my life. So I'm not going to listen to you when you tell me 3 years ain't enough. Because I still act the same way as day one. And so people give me timelines and I go, okay, you got to wreck your timeline. Hello, somebody. I had no idea God told me to come down to Central Florida and build a church. But yet I joined a church and then was hired at the church. And I'm thinking, why am I here? I'm supposed to be building churches in Central Florida. This doesn't make any sense. Why? Because what I didn't realize is that the church I came from was an all African American church. And they did everything African-American, everything, the music, the songs, the leadership, the thought life, everything was African-American. And that's all I knew. But the church God told me to pray in was all Caucasian church. And they spoke, sang Caucasian music. They used, man, Z88 used to make me sick to my stomach. What are they saying? This ain't gospel. What in the world? Some of y'all look at me crazy now. I used to listen and go, man, there's so many words. What are they saying? And God, you are so gracious and we love you too. I'm like, oh my God. See, in the black church, it's Jesus, 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 oh Jesus. That's all it was. That's your music. That's worship. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus. And that's it. Church is over. One word song, but I couldn't get used to all them Z88s. But you know what? Watch this. God had to train me to appreciate another style of music. He had to make me say, boy, sit down. Because when you listen to the words. Just listen to how they're worshiping. You think it's bad. No, it ain't bad because I honor it. Listen. And I began to grow and appreciate it. And I started singing along. Yes, Lord, you are great, great and worthy to be praised. Oh, yeah. And I'm dancing with everybody. Oh, da, 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 da. Hey. People in the church were wearing boots, and I started wearing boots to church. I got boots on. I went home to my home church. Lord, they looked at me crazy. You got boots on. So God had to take me from a church of one kind of people and brought me into a church of another kind of people. And then in 7 years at that church, God spoke to me and said, it's time to start your own church. And in that instance, I understood why. He says, I want you to build a multicultural church. Take something from here, take something from there, bring it back together, baby, and honor the kingdom. I'm like, yes! So now I can, y'all know, I can walk up here in boots, or I can walk up here in gospel. Either way I want to roll, I can be myself. Hello, somebody. See, God told me that even in this church, we would have a strong Spanish presence. So you know what? I named my second born Miguel. Because I knew as a promise, God said we would have Spanish people in our church. That's why his justice middle name is Miguel. I trust him. And all of a sudden, people are coming into the church from all around the world. Come on now. Hello, somebody. Come on. Where are my Spanish-speaking people? Where are my Latin Americans? Come on, my Puerto Ricans, my Mexicans. Woo! That's one. Hello. That is a, somebody say, promise. God will answer your promise when you pursue purpose. Moses thought it was over. Moses had gotten to the age of 80 years old and was like, man, I had this dream when I was young that I was going to go save these people. And man, it never came to pass. Let me take the sheep out. Bah, come on. Bah. And didn't realize that God was training him to handle some stubborn, hard-headed, short-sighted animals. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Stubborn, hard-headed, short-sighted animals who always want to stray away. That's church, y'all. Come on now. I've been there, done that. I've been one of the sheep. Bah, I was one of the worst ones. But God was training him to deal with the people that were just going to be the same way. Stubborn, hard-headed, wanted to go their own way and strayed a lot. So God finally, at the age of 80, Moses is doing his thing. Moses is the Bible literally says in the book of Acts that Moses was well-learned in the ways of Egypt. He had an intellectual mind. And while he's out there with the sheep, he looks up and he sees a burning bush. But it's not consumed. And he's not a normal shepherd. He came from Egypt. He knows that ain't even supposed to happen. He stops what he's doing and walks over to the burning bush. He walks over to the burning bush. Why? Because God knows how to get all of our attention. That wouldn't have worked for everybody, but it sure worked for Moses. And when he walked up on the thing that struck him the most, God spoke out of the bush. The angel of the Lord spoke on behalf of the Lord and said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Now, how many would have ever guessed by just being a shepherd, he was going to become the deliverer? See, he had thought that by the power of men, putting him up in high position, making him in the room with Pharaoh, being able to command armies, being able to have soldiers around him was what he needed to deliver his people. But God had to strip him down of all that he thought he could have, that he needed to do the will of the Father, and put him out with some sheep. And then when he was ready for him to, because it wasn't on the outside that God needed to build, it was the man on the inside. And sometimes you're wondering why God is stripping things away from your life. And you're wondering, God, can you take anything else away? It keeps like I'm losing everything. No. You are in the process of purpose. You are in the process of purpose. Write this down, please. This is your takeaway for today. You've got to get this. This is very important. Your priorities. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. No. Let me tell you what it is. Let me say it for you. Here's what you ought to write. Give me a moment here. All things work together for the good. Hello, somebody. Write this down. Purpose is not a point. It's a process. Purpose is not a point. It's a process. What do I mean by that? See, I need you to understand how life works. When we want to discover our purpose, who wants to know your purpose for living? Who wants to know that? Because we feel like if we could figure out what the purpose is, then we could stop making bad decisions. Hello, somebody. But how many know that bad decisions are a part of your purpose? I mean, I want you to understand that bad decision is going to be a part of your process. Otherwise, Moses would have never known that it wasn't in Egypt that he was going to find the delivering power. Hello, somebody. It had to be out in the wilderness where wasn't nobody but him and God and some stinky sheep. Come on now. If he hadn't made that mistake, he would have never ran out there into the wilderness. And we think, oh, I blew it. I done messed up my chance. I'm not going to be delivering. God said, you right in the middle of my purpose, but it's a process and not a point. I'm not making you a point. I'm making you a process. Now, let me explain what that means It's very important that we do so. Now, but before I go any further, let me say a couple of things. Number one, Chris Lomberg and Jeanette Lomberg are at the hospital because his father is in ICU. So we want to pray for his father's deliverance. Lift your hands right now. All over the building. God, we command life to his body. We don't take the stance that whatever your will is, this is what we want to happen. God, we want his life to be spared. You have the final word, but God, we're declaring life and not death over this man's life. Give him a chance to walk in your glory and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I want you to cover the Hogan family. She lost, Mrs. Hogan lost her grandmother, which was a godly woman, and they're going to be gone, but we want you to keep them covered in prayer. And then the last thing is, I need you to remember the people that are here in Leesburg, people who are waiting to discover and pursue their own purpose. Down in each of your seats should be some cards. Would you take the cards in your hand and hold them up so I can see that you have it? Okay, I want you to hold those cards up. Not the connection cards, the touch cards. They invite people, they're invitation cards to church. Hold them up, please. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray a prayer over these because we want to give them to two people. And we're going to decide that whoever we give it to, whether we know them or not, we're going to pray an anointing over that card to invite them out to our Saturday service that God may be able to bless them. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint the cards in everyone's hands. And when they give them out, wherever they give them out, God, let them have the impact on that person's life to draw them to the cross. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's done. It's done. Now, getting back to Moses as we get ready to close, it's important that you understand that Moses was on a journey, and the journey is the process. It's not about what is my calling? What am I supposed to do with my life? Many people look at me and go, well, Pastor Steve, we know what yours is. You're a pastor. No, not at all. That is not my calling. I'm a son of the Father. Yes. And he has asked me to pastor at this time. Yes. But before I did this, he wanted me to do prophetic ministry. And I did that. And before I did that, he wanted me to do evangelism. And I did that. So at every point, I can't get stuck in one position and say, this is all I am. You ain't seen all that you are in God. You have no clue what you can do yet. God ain't finished with you yet. I mean, it's about pursuing purpose, meaning God has a purpose for your life. But let me tell you something. It's purpose is not a point. It's a process. But there are points in the process. Let me explain how purpose works. Has anybody ever seen one of those kids games where you have to trace according to the numbers, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, and it traces an image over your life, right? Image on the page. Pull that up, would you please? I want them to see what that looks like. This is your life. This is what your life ought to look like. Is it on our screen? Look at that. There we go, Jesus. Look at that. Look at your neighbor and say, connect the dots. Say it again, connect the dots. Number one always begins on the head of Christ because you made Christ the head of your life. That's where the first dot always begins. You see, you can't come down to the bottom. You got to start at the top. When you make Christ the head of your life, then the purpose plan falls into being. And this is how purpose works. You may be doing something at number one, and God may wake you up and say, your purpose today is you're going to run into a lady who needs some grocery, and your job is to provide grocery for that lady. That's number two. And you wake up out of number one, and you go out to the store, and there's a lady weeping on the side of the road. You ask her, what's wrong? I need groceries. You have just now moved to purpose number two. And in your life, there are purpose points. Purpose points where God asks you to be obedient, not tomorrow. Today. That's why I say, give no thought on what you eat or drink or what you wear. Tomorrow take care of itself. Only pray about today because your purpose point is in today. Ah, You don't realize how powerful, how empowered you are. That literally God put a purpose that only you can feel today. Only you. Only you do it. And sometimes you know it because this thought will keep crossing your mind. And you go, no, no, I ain't going to do it. No, I ain't going to call him. And you're missing your purpose point. The Bible wants you to do things. If kindness is rolling up in your belly, then you let the kindness out. If it's hate, leave it. But if it's kindness, let it out. That's how you know. If it's good, great. Not good, not great. And so purpose is like that. And when you walk your purposes of your life every day with the Lord, it's not just one thing. It's multiple things. Sometimes it's as easy as for Moses as leading sheep in point number three. Point number five for Moses might have been throwing down the rod and it turned to a snake. Pick it back up in front of Pharaoh. Destroy all of their snakes. Purpose points. Every day you run into purpose points, ladies and gentlemen. You, if you live fully for God, you're going to have an opportunity to serve him. And you don't know how big that's going to make a difference. But you have to live every day like it's your last day. Live every day like God would have you to love one another, to care for the uncared for, to help those who are hurting, disciple those who want to learn, to be a person of compassion. God said, if you would just do that, you will never miss your purpose. Because what is the story at the end of the day? When I have finished all my purpose points, the image that people will see will not be Steve Yates. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to draw a picture of ourselves in the minds of men today. No, the reason why God has us on purpose is because he's trying to bring glory to his name. He's trying to show you that he can use you in a great way to bring glory to him. But when we deny to do the right thing on that day, he loses glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to pursue purpose. I want you to go after God with all your heart. I want you to seek him with your whole heart, your whole face. I want you to learn to pray, read, have fellowship. I want you to learn to do acts of kindness. These things you must do. These things you must do. These things you must do. Give yourselves to doctrine and to reading of the word and to encouraging of one another. That's what you do, and you will never miss a purpose point. Every Sunday, every Saturday, every Thursday, I get up. Every day when I feel like laying down. Ever woke up and want to go back to bed? Anybody? Ever had one of those beds that promote sleeping? Hello, somebody. And you're like, man, I don't know if God wants me to get up today. And I say, I've got somebody to bless today. This is a purposeful day. I can't slack in my abilities. I can't slack in my gifting. Some of you have the ability to help people understand God. You should be leading a catalyst team. Maybe you are good with the gifts of help. Maybe you join a catalyst team and say, let me support you. But everybody ought to be giving something to somebody else. It doesn't always have to be money, but we are all gifted in the plan of God to walk out our purpose points. And today, I say to you, God has a plan for you. God has a big plan for your life. It's not one moment that you're going to arrive to. It's many, many, many moments that he needs to be glorified through your life. But sometimes, you got to learn to start in the days of small beginnings. Because it's there that God will meet you behind the mountain. I'll close with this thought about Moses. Moses thought he was a deliverer. Moses thought in Egypt, all the ducats were in a row for him to deliver the people. He just knew the people would listen to him. But how many know people won't listen to you without God? You can have all the power you want, but if God ain't on your side, you're in trouble. He thought he could do it without God, do it by his own strength. He had it in him, and so he tried to do it with his own power. But God said, you can't. you got to have me on your side. And there behind the mountain, God called him, got his attention, like he got your attention. Called you to a special space, brought you in on a mystery among men that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and you can be saved, and you accepted it. But in that process, God told Moses, I'm going to do many miracles through your life, but they're going to happen behind the scenes first. See, many people want to be the one in front and let everybody know who they are, but God will see if you have it really in your heart, because he'll stick you behind the mountain first. He'll stick you in the corner where prayer is happening. And we're like, but God, that's not going to get me to be a deliverer. And God said, that's exactly what it's going to take for you to be a deliverer. You think it takes you being dressed up like an Egyptian with soldiers on your side? That ain't what it's going to take to be a deliverer. It's going to take having a prayer life, being knowing my word, knowing who I am, understanding me and experiencing who I am. That makes you a deliverer. And God said to Moses, behind the mountain, take your hand, put it in your chest. Pull it out. And he pulled it out and it was full of leprosy. Why leprosy? Of all the things, why leprosy? Because Moses already was a man alienated from his adopted family. But to have leprosy means he would be alienated from his Hebrew family too. He lost everything by obeying God. Whew. He's sitting there like, I just did what God told me to do, and look what just happened. Yeah. And many of us would have stopped right there. We would have thrown our staff down and walked off that mountain, because we didn't know it was a process. And then, in the midst of him looking at his separation from everything, he heard the sweet words, now put it back in your chest. Put it back in. Pull it out. And the hand was made whole. Man, what did that say to that man? I can give you family back. I can give you community back. I can give you a people back if you trust me. It's a process. It's not going to happen like you think it would. But if you trust me, I can take your greatest fears away. You feel so alone out here in the wilderness. Think nobody loves you. Think you're all alone. But I can take away your loneliness. And I can give you a family again. I can make you laugh again. I can make you on top again. You tried doing things your way and it didn't work. But your purpose was too great for me to let you fall. Come back. Let me use you. And Moses took that hand and he says, now pick up the rod. And with that hand, he picked up the rod and he dealt with all of Moses' fears. As a shepherd, one of the worst things you're going to run into in the wilderness is serpents. Could you imagine what he thought when God said, throw it down, and it turned to a snake? The Bible tells us Moses was very afraid. He jumped back. And let me say this to you. God would never send you to walk out your purpose before he deals with your fears. He'll make you go through your worst fears just so you know that God is still in control. Moses was terrified, and God said again to him, pick up the rod. And Moses stretched as far as he could stretch. Picked up the rod, the snake, boom, and it turned back to a rod. God can change your worst fear into your greatest weapon. Did you hear what I just said? He'll turn your worst fear into your greatest weapon. Years ago, I had two fears one of having dying of cancer, and two, dying of hunger and homelessness. And God, in his infinite process points, took me through both. He not only did it in spades. I had the largest tumor ever in the state of Florida. It was about this big. Now, he could have gave me a little small one. He gave me the biggest they've ever seen. Now what you gonna do? And that's when angels began to appear all over Florida on my behalf, calling my name out, people calling me, telling me God's gonna deliver me out of it, and he did. And then when it came to being homeless, I was left homeless, and I thought God was going to leave me, and I was going to die of hunger alone. And God provided a ram in the bush and fed me and had somebody pay all my bills. I didn't even know they were coming. They didn't even know I needed it. They were told by the Lord as they were driving down the road to look at my apartment and pay all the bills at the electric company. What were the odds of that? At the end of the story, what that did for me is, you can never make me afraid of dying. You can never make me afraid of having nothing. My greatest fear now is my greatest weapon. Someone is sick, you better believe I'm going to pray. If someone can't make it, you better believe I'm going to tell them you can make it. God's going to be, forget that, you're going to make it. Why? Because I don't have those fears no more. They're my weapons now. Ladies and gentlemen, God is seeking to take care of your fears so you can see the weapons that you have. Don't be afraid of the process. Embrace it. Because when you do, you'll move from that mountain into the stance of a deliverer for someone else. Would you stand to your feet, please?